Okay, this is June 8th, 2016, the Courtroom Observer Committee call. And we have a few cases going. There's two listed on the call to action page. One of them was today, and I had to send out an emergency yesterday on that one. And then the other one is on the 10th, and it's in New Jersey. For Lynn, and that's up on the call to action page too. And I did send out, you know, the notice about it last week to New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania because they were all kind of near where the case is, and also sent it out to the courtroom observers. And then there's another case coming up for this guy named Anthony, and he is in Indiana. Let me find him here. His is on the 14th. And I was going to put, it's not on the call to action page yet, but I will put it up. Is in, oh, it's in, I don't know how to say this. I'm going to really ruin it. Waukegan, Illinois.
Waukegan.
Oh, Waukegan. Thank you. Waukegan, Illinois for Anthony on the 14th. And anyway, that'll be up on the call to action page too, but I did send out a notice to Illinois and the courtroom observers, and I'll be putting his up on the page too. So if anybody can help those folks, that'd be great. And other than that, I was just wondering if anybody has anything, you know, anybody they're helping or any insights they have or any cases that they have of their own.
Well, I speak up. I do have a jury selection on August 2nd.
And, oh, Harley. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So are you going to, so can you have witnesses there?
I do not know what the protocol is. I mean, they, you know,
yeah,
for my last hearing, I don't think they would have kept anybody out. There was nobody gatekeeping. There was a whole room full of people having hearings. And I think they were scheduled to be short. You know, there were arraignments and this and that. Mine was evidentiary. And but judges shut me right down when I tried to have some speech about it. I was going to try to explain to them that it might be in their interest to, you know, close it down or dismiss it, you know. He said, we should do that and learn paperwork and blah, 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 you know. Like, write a motion to dismiss, you know.
So I have a question for you. Is that, so are you going to become the juror? Is that what it is? Or are you having a jury selected for your case?
Well, you know, without any background, you guys, anyway, some people might have heard of this or heard of me, but I was summarily arrested and, you know, battered and abused and stuff while they destroyed my farm and moved all my stuff to storage. They literally destroyed it with a bulldozer and a big USDA greenhouse and all this stuff. And they had plotted it for months. And, you know, my sheriff was, you know, I hadn't talked to him directly since early days when he started, you know, serving bank paperwork on me. But I was on my way to meet with him, oddly enough. And they either intercepted the communication or he was part of it. And, you know, they entrapped me. They set me up just to get me off the property to make it, you know, more comfortable for them. And I still had appeals headed at Supreme Court, and, you know, and just all the greased wheels that they put under the whole thing. I find an email chain where they talk to The Fusion Center people at Montpelier and the state police insisted on getting involved, even though he told them he didn't need them to.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering because I have jury duty in Rensselaer County on that day. So I was just wondering if anything with that county.
No, it's over in Bennington. And, you know, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to push my will on this. Of course, you know, they make up all their own rules that are unconstitutional. And I'm going to say, you know, how many people are going to be in this jury? And I don't want them tainted. And there needs to be 12. And, you know, they're going to give me crap all the way, I'm sure. But, you know, it's one of those low threshold cases. I got no priors whatsoever. They totally faked up the resisting arrest. I had given them my hands. I'm laying on the ground, and they stick their foot in my on my base of my spine. I've got injuries and stuff to make me just start to twitch and pull, and that they called resisting arrest. So, I mean, I can get the video. I've got some of the video. I can, you know, probably put in certain types of motions, get it dismissed summarily. But I don't really think I want to, because they're sending my Supreme Court case out. They just dumped it, and they said, you know, I didn't hit some 2014 10-day time limit to appeal when they first foreclosed, and you know, since then I'd been through two bankruptcies that were crushed by the bank's lawyers. Not to get in a long litany here if anybody has anything else, but just as background, I feel like using it as a bully pulpit to show what bastards and, you know, what monsters these banks are and how the police are helping them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you for your story. So does anybody else have any nobody else has any other case they want to talk about or story they want to share? Because if not, then I want to go talk about different strategies. Now, Laura, I know we've been talking about this for a while, and I'm not sure the progress you've made on this, but have we created some sort of script yet that we want to give people? And have we kind of connected with that group?
You mean the I never got a call back from them that was what was it? the name of it is Victims of Malicious Prosecution, and they have called prisons and gotten results from that. And so that's what we were. I'm sorry, I have not made up a script for that. But it's actually, it sounds like when I talked to Barbara, you know, her son was the one that got out in Florida. He's a private attorney general, and you know, they just went and got him because he embarrassed them so bad. And then Rod Class went and got him out. And so Anthony's mother was telling me that she was in touch with the victims of malicious prosecution, and they had put Anthony in solitary confinement, and she called the prison and got him out of there. And so sounds like, basically, you would say the same thing you would say to the sheriff. The script that we have for the sheriff up on the call to action page is the same thing you would say to the if you were going to call a prison on somebody's behalf. Because if all these people that, you know, their family members are the ones that are trying to stay in touch with the ones that are in prison, if we actually called on their behalf as well, it would make a difference.
Yeah, so we might want to try to do the call to prison like we do the call to courts. So,
yeah, and it's pretty much the same point. But you want to make yours, and the points are up on the call to action page. So so maybe...
There is more to show up.
What?
I'm
Hello?
Not sure. I'm just continue.
Okay. Anyway, so maybe what we should put up there is another, some other page that encourages people to get us to call on somebody's behalf that's unlawfully held.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea, and I think...
like another form.
Right, right. And I think, I think we should do that. And also, too, I want to put it out there. If anybody wants to help out with anything related to this, such as making scripts or really helping out either I or Laura through this process, please speak up and let us know, because we do have some things that we could have people do. And, you know, I'm a busy person, she's a busy person, and so anybody who could help, you know, we would really appreciate that. So if anybody wants to help, just let us know. You can let us know now, or you can give us an email, replying back to some Laura's email or my email at Carl, K-A-R-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. So I just want to put that out there for people who are doing this now or listening to the recording.
Yeah, and mine is Legere, L-E-G-E-R-E, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at gmail.com.
Yeah. Hi, this is Mark Edward from Wisconsin.
Hi, Mark.
Well, one thing, with the prison thing, and I guess I interrupted you because I was thinking out loud, is that if you, for instance, did a habeas corpus so that somebody that's like in isolation, isolated confinement in prison, and what you really wanted was not to have them show up for a court hearing, but you wanted to have them show up and have a judge order that they not be held in confined quarters, that you would also mention in the habeas corpus that not only are you to have your, you know, lowest ranking officer who would typically escort this prisoner to the court, but you are to have some representative from the prison who can, will, and can be ordered to and give you order to follow through that this prisoner is no longer to be held in confinement like that. So just include that in the paperwork.
Right. So what you're saying, and I just want to repeat it so I understand it, that the you're just saying with the habeas corpus, mention that this person is to be released from prison and this officer is the one to release the prisoner?
Well, and not necessarily to release them, depending on the reason for the habeas corpus, of course. But, you know, if you just know that there's a prisoner that's held in isolation, that, and it for very unjust reasons and uncalled for reasons, that you remind them, the warden, and it wouldn't necessarily have to be the warden show up in court, but somebody who is able to give an order to follow through that this person is put in, say, general population, that you remind them that they are the ward of this prisoner. So they are to come also, since technically they represent and are in charge of this person. Like, you know, like if it was a juvenile, you would have an adult who is the ward over, if I'm using the right word, over that individual, that, you know, a judge can tell, you know, this has to be done, that has to be done. They are to have somebody show up that can make a decision on what to do.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but I again don't really quite know how that could fit into the paperwork. And by that I mean we can remind them, but I...
Are we on the phone?
you know, I don't know if it's quite necessary because the warden, unless we send the paperwork to the warden, it's just sort of a statement itself. You know, we're trying to address the court directly, not necessarily the warden, even though the warden should do all that. So I just don't know where I would say put that on habeas corpus or the paperwork. Off the top of my head, but what you're saying is very correct. There should be something that reminds them that they're the ward of this person.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking that the person would very possibly be released sooner, because if somebody representing the penitentiary or prison or what have you is in court and the judge tells them, right then and there, when this prisoner goes back, he is not to be put in isolation. It very easily could get that prisoner into the general population sooner, and also save the institution from using some scapegoat procedure for delaying the process of them being put in general population. And again, I should mention, I only just joined you, so I maybe missed a big part of the conversation.
Okay. No, I understand what you're saying. So I guess it's something to think at, because I like the way you're thinking about that. But I guess let's think about that, because I don't, again, know how that would release them quicker, because if they're not going to release them at all, you know, it's either they're going to release them soon. Like, there's a couple scenarios that I've seen. One, they don't release them at all. The other is they will release them either immediately or they'll release them at the last minute. I think those are the three most common scenarios with this.
And when you say release, you mean release into general population or release from the institution?
Well, release from the institution or released into the general population, because the habeas corpus is essentially saying you have the body and you have to release the person from your prison or you're, holding them. And it's either they're going to do it immediately, which is very rare. They're going to wait 30 days, which is a little bit more common, or most likely they'll just not do it at all. So, you know, unfortunately, I understand what you're saying, but I just don't know if it would help, because they're most likely not going to do it anyway. They're most likely to wait till the last minute, regardless of what you do.
And when you say last minute, but I mean, if a judge tells the judge would probably direct the order to the warden.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that warden wouldn't act immediately?
Well, the judge wouldn't issue the order to the warden.
Liquid laundry detergent.
That's the issue. The warden will immediately follow any judge's orders. What I'm saying, it's the judge ordering the warden to do that is the issue.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where the issue is. But the warden would do it immediately. His order. So that brings another thing too that I want to talk to people about, and this is relating to habeas corpuses. As you all know, we do habeas corpuses. The Unified Nation is kind of like grand jury does. The habeas corpuses, and we've been sending them out doing those things. But one thing that we haven't really discussed too much is, because there's so many cases out there and so many things going on, that it's possible for people to open a court of record and do the habeas corpuses themselves if it's a really, really urgent matter. Like, if you're doing it in 3 days, there's no way we, as Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, is going to get all the information needed from you to do a habeas corpus. So you might be able to do it yourself. Now, I'm not 100% familiar with the method to do that, but I do know John did mention it on the Monday night call, and I may need to go back and listen to it again, how he essentially did that similar thing that Bill Thornton said to do with the habeas corpuses, and it apparently worked, and the judge released the person at the last minute before the deadline that was set on the paperwork. So that's one thing that you could possibly look into as we are still getting these habeas corpuses done that we still need to, as another measure to maybe either release yourself from their jurisdiction that they don't have, or to cause more delays, because the more you can delay it, the more time you have to learn and study, and you're a lot better off. So does anybody have any questions or concerns on that, or does anybody want to maybe elaborate on what I said?
Well, I just have one. I mean, there's a lot of people in jail that are just, they're just being held there, and there is no charges, there's no nothing, and they've been just rotting there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have anything, they're not even going to court or anything. They're just there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's, you know, the way I think it's done, and don't quite quote me on this, is a person opens up their own court of record, and they can challenge the jurisdiction from that court of record using the habeas corpus from that court, and then that's how that would work, and then that habeas corpus would be sent to the court not of record, and they would have to respond to it. He again gotten honest responses from people laughing. I've heard people laughing at this, to people actually releasing the prisoner. So, you know, these are just, there's so many different things I've seen in between that where people, it has worked for people and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I had some input on that.
Sure.
Just an observation, two of them actually, and one is this exact point, is are we getting to the maturity level where we can thoroughly analyze those, like with a Venn diagram, to see, hey, what tends to work, and, you know, start to overcome this barrier that seems to be this sort of glass ceiling where they can't allow any habeas corpuses, although they have to give them, you know, lip service, and they can't really, you know, technically dismiss them. How come they can physically dismiss them, dismiss most of John's work and Linda's work, and, you know, find, you know, the magic key, sort of, so to speak, and then if not, start to put heavy pressure on government officials, you know, at the state and federal level to overcome this and say, look, this is a legacy from this nightmare of this false flag attack syndrome where you guys decided to suspend this, and the fact that we've got illegal bar lawyers running their own program in our courts. And then my second point is, since that broke down and wasn't working honestly very well anyway, I was in pretty heavy communication with Linda, and I saw the workload and I felt the pressure and the stress that she was under. And I say to myself, well, to back up a second, my background is in higher education, working, you know, with a lot of very well-educated content experts who had a hard time parsing out and making extensible situations. I was an online course developer and multimedia programmer, and, you know, the point is to take somebody like John and get their time used very well to help you build something that's a template. Like, I don't even know how complicated a habeas corpus is. I have not seen one of these. But I felt like it could have been the flying carpet I needed on my day of court if Nicole had it in her hand, and, you know, to dismiss their presumption that they had any case against me whatsoever, not to release me on a whole bunch of disgusting conditions and keep my things that they stole under illegal search and seizure, but to just wipe it out in court that day. And, you know, if we can get that kind of a system and we can develop it across the nation, we can have, you know, I'll bet the wives of some of these guys in the Tea Party, the Patriot Movement, the Oath Keepers, all these people would love to have a tangible thing that they can do. And some of them are highly educated. And a lot of them have clerical skills. Hell, I got dyslexia, and I've forced myself to go through and learn what I've learned, write what I've written. And I may not have gotten much traction, but I've got a whole litany of denials of justice, you know, and where they've failed to speak, and it's all a matter of court record. And when I go back, I've got this, you know, documented train wreck. But, you know, I had to force myself to do it. I know a lot of people could do it.
Right. And I'll tell you what sort of is the vision and the plan that we have going with the habeas corpuses. And without giving too much detail, the plan is to essentially open up a new case somewhere else, sort of like the Bundy case out west, and get the habeas corpuses together and try to connect the fact that, you know, a whole bunch of these aren't actually being followed through, and therefore there's some sort of subversion. And then wherever this case would be, and I think I have a general idea where it would be, you know, we would try to get a lot of support into that particular courthouse and try to put a lot of pressure there. And then that's sort of one avenue that we're trying to go with the habeas corpuses. But you're absolutely right. I think this is a good idea that maybe we should have some sort of tracking system.
Well, let's see. What do we have when we have a...
Okay. We have some sort of tracking system that would essentially tell us who was successful doing what and try to figure out what does work and where it works and all that. And then we might be able to record and write that down, because you're absolutely right. We do need this information, and we do really need to figure out what works and what doesn't, regardless of other things going on in NLA, what doesn't work for quorum observers and habeas corpuses, because we might actually find a pattern. And I think that's so important, and I'm really glad you brought that up. So I think we might be at that point where we might just ask people what worked, what didn't. I think we have some of that sort of on the website for some of the habeas corpuses done with the Unified Nations Commentary. But personally, I'd like to see what also people are saying, what did and didn't work.
Yeah, because the anecdotal stuff is tantalizing. You know, I've heard and tried to call some people, you know, pin them down on things that had worked. And, you know, they didn't always use something directly through NLA. You know, we've got no monopoly on this method and means. We're just trying to systematize it so it does work for the mass of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you bring a good point, because I'm really big into what Bill Thornton does as well, and I really like his work a lot. And I've always found that the people who are out of jail and who've done this stuff for a while are the best ones to go and use their information for. So, you know, I really like Bill Thornton and a lot of his stuff. There's some other people out there as well, too. So, yeah, I mean, we could figure out who's using what and what works. And we'll be able to see what exactly we should be doing as we go forward.
You know, and that has a double strength. Not only does it allow us reproducible results, but when they see one of these, you know, it's kind of a 12th monkey effect. The courts are going to start to realize that, you know, this has precedent, that it's back. Habeas corpus is back. You know,
yeah.
That sort of thing.
So that's good. So what I'll do is I'll put this in my notes, because I'm going to be busy the next couple days. But I can go onto the site and I can maybe create a form for people to fill out who are members about what exactly they have done, if anything, with prison calls, with their own paperwork, et cetera. Maybe have them attach exactly what was sent, and then tell us whether it was successful or not, or the level of that success. So, I'll try to get something started with that over the next several days. In addition to, I haven't talked to John about this, but I might be able to also in the next couple weeks help him really get the habeas corpus stuff really automated to the point where all you might need to do is just fill out a form, and you can click a button and fill out a template for you.
Nice.
Yeah. So if we could do something like that, then I think that this would make things a lot quicker as well. Now I need to talk to John because he told me that he's redoing the templates to have it all in one template instead of seven that we had with the CPS and all that, and that's going to make doing that a lot easier. And I pretty much have a structure for that automated system set up already, so I'm hoping it's not going to take me too long to continue and finish that up. So those are really good ideas that you've had, and I really do appreciate that. Does anybody else have anything to say?
Yeah, this is Jan in Kansas, and I've mentioned it a couple of times before, but it was so striking to me that I'm going to mention it a third time, and I hope you guys will forgive me for that if you remember. But there was a really good article in The Intercept, I believe it was May 4th. It was written by a woman reporter, and the name of the article is Gutting, like gutting an animal, Gutting Habeas Corpus. It's 11 pages, and she went through the history of how, well, we know that habeas corpus started being gutted back after the Civil War, but she told about the bill, all about the bill that was written by President Clinton. I believe he did that in 1996, and it had something to do even back then with anti-terrorism. It was, I believe, after the Oklahoma City bombing. But anyway, the point is that she goes through the whole thing of how habeas corpus was gutted. And then, but the important part to me with what we're talking about tonight is that this one judge, I believe it's since he's retired now, he's starting to speak up and tell, he wants to tell now what he saw happening in the courts. And I believe his name was Judge Reinert. But anyway, you can see it in her article. But what I was sitting here thinking was that somebody like him, this judge, perhaps he would be in a place where he could advise an organization like ours of what we should be doing, how to approach the court. Not that what you guys are talking about tonight isn't probably going to be the way that you have to go anyway, you know, just stack the courts with habeas corpuses and then let them be, you know, let them explain themselves why people are put into jail without charges. But I'm just saying from the back end and from the legal end of things, maybe he would be able to tell us how to approach the legislators in our states with this kind of thing, how to approach our sheriffs. What he's been doing, that hurting people for 25 years. He knew what he was doing. He knew that it was hurting individuals and that they were being deprived of their rights. And now that he's talking, maybe he could, I don't know, maybe he could advise us with something that was important that we wouldn't think of ourselves.
Yeah, that would be great. Do you know who this judge is or contact information for this judge at all?
I don't, but his information is in the Intercept article, And that reporter, like I say, it was 11 pages of information. And so the reporter probably, if we contacted her, she could probably give all that information to whoever contacted her.
Yeah. Would you be able to do that for us and just say, hey, I'm part of an organization and I just am looking for contact information, and then email me that? Or maybe
I'm not on email right now, but I could try to do it through snail mail.
Okay, yeah, if you could try to do it if you can. So you said it was online somewhere?
Yes.
Do you have a link to it?
No, I'm really kind of off the computer right now completely, and I don't even know what I'm talking about with the computer hardly. But the name of the article is, well, the publication online was The Intercept, and I believe the date was May 4th this year, and the name of the article is Gutting Habeas Corpus, and I can't remember the author's name. It was a female, and it is an 11-page article. You'd know you got the same one I'm talking about if it was 11 pages. And at the last probably 2 pages is where this Judge Reinert or something like that, where he starts, you know, he's retired now or whatever, and now he decided, you know how they do, after they get their retirement, and then they want to come out and be the hero. Excuse me, but... anyway, so God bless him for it anyway. But anyway, that's pretty much the information I've got. But I thought, well, with somebody like him who's apparently his conscience is getting to him, and I would hope, and I just thought that might be helpful too.
No, that's great. I found the story, and thank you for that information. And this is another thing that I want to bring out to people if they can. Does anybody want to follow up on something like this? Because, again, we're trying to also get people involved to do things, and really we want people to try to reach out to these organizations to show not only that it's, you know, other members, but it's also people who may not necessarily be.
I am. Yeah, can you show me how to put on
I can take a look at this. I'll put this on some sort of a list of things for me to do. But if people want this to be done quicker, to look it up, please step up and volunteer to just, you know, I'll send you the article link or mention it now. And I will then just ask you to send me the information when you can. So if you want to, just let me know now. If not, Laura, do you have anything else, or does anybody else have anything to say?
Did you want me to still try to contact them by snail mail for
information? Why don't you do that? Because what...
phone number. Maybe they've got a phone number.
Okay. Yeah, it's just because I have a lot personally I need to do, and I wouldn't be able to, you know, I still have to send something I was supposed to send out 2 weeks ago to somebody related to NLA stuff. So, yeah, I've just been very busy, so even an email or phone contact might take days for me to get back and forth between people. So if you could
I'll be happy to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, please do so then. Contact by snail mail and let us know how it goes. And,
all right.
And do you have my phone number if you want?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you have a pen and paper?
I do now.
Okay. My phone number is 518-512-9240.
Okay. And you're what? You're who?
I'm Carl.
Carl.
Yep. I'm also I'm the national coordinator as well, or a national coordinator, I should say.
Okay. All right.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Chan. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, does anybody else have any other things they want to say or anything else that they like to discuss that hasn't been discussed now?
Just to speak on that issue of bar lawyers, and, you know, we know the judges are also bar lawyers, has been ruminating in my mind as I try to figure out, you know, what my right to counsel is and why it's so limited and why everybody in this country, including government officials in the banking trade and other things, Department of Banking and Commerce and, you know, attorney generals and, you know, state senators, everybody won't speak to anything because they think they're going to be sued for giving legal advice. And you, there's no list of non-bar lawyers, you know, if you want somebody outside of their cult. And I just, you know, I'm a little bit chafy about that whole issue as, you know, all the history is uncovered about how they've created this monopoly that's illegal. And I would, and I know that there's a lot of good people at the same time who happen to be lawyers and happen to have no other choice because of that monopoly. But, you know, just to ruminate around there amongst us who might not be as busy as you, to just try to think of ways that we might set up an open door to those folks into NLA to say defection would be great right now. And turning evidence, turning methods, turning knowledge over to people who are trying to break through that you know, plexiglass syndrome, ceiling, cage, whatever we want to call it, you know. That's all I have on that. Yes.
Okay. That's a great point that you bring up because there are a lot of people, and I'll even mention an example, Brent Winters, who's with us, who I think is actually, he's a bar attorney still, but he's a real constitutional guy, real common law guy, and truly is, a, from my own experience, a very, very great person. And he really loves the common law and wants to do well. But because of the bar system, you're right. You know, he almost has to be confined to that monopoly there. And there are other people, too, who are also in that same position who could be good people, but they're silent because if they speak up, you know, they're afraid of losing their bar license, and that essentially is their life for them. So, you know, we would love defection. We love information from people. And we would take people who are maybe still bar attorneys, if they want to kind of confess and give us evidence, we can bring them in and give them some access to the National Liberty Alliance website to give us information, to help us out with it and expose the fraud that's going on. So we're absolutely open to anybody who wants to be open, has a good heart, and wants to really do well and is willing to do something, especially like that, which is almost suicidal in their own careers. So,
well, that's another point is, you know, there might be an official, and as a matter of fact, a bar lawyer called in on a Monday night, and I don't know if you were on that call, but John had somebody make an addition, a change on the website to allow them to actually join as long as they identified themselves.
Right.
Now, they're not going to want to do it because, again, it's, I just can't, it, to me, it's just the whole thing is Orwellian. The whole thing is through the looking glass to me that we have this in our country with all this patriotic history we're taught in school, you know, being bullshit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Sarah just speak in such strong terms, but, you know, so at the same time it exists. And if we could have a whistleblower line or we could have a back door, that would be good. You know, we could have people who've thrown over their bar membership and said, look, I was just too disgusted. I had a pit in my stomach. I couldn't go to work every day. Now I'd like to fight in law for the right thing, for the right cause, and have an outreach of some sort. So sort of maybe both sides.
Right.
Yeah, look and even...
Oops. Go ahead. Go.
Yeah, it's Jan again. And maybe even an outreach to disbarred lawyers.
Ah, yeah. There's a good one.
No,
well, I wonder if there's a website, Recovering Attorneys.
Yeah.
I mean, but we do have like a, you know, for the sheriffs that are on our side, they're anonymous to us too. So that seems like the attorneys could be that way too.
Well, again, I think we have a lot of lurkers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we might also too, if we have enough support, and I'm not saying that people have to stand up now and do it, but we need and we want people to be able to be there for someone to call, a sheriff to call if there was some sort of issue, or we want someone to take the calls for lawyers who are disgruntled but want to help us out. Unfortunately, we just need people who are active and who want to volunteer. And, you know, I want to put this out to people that a lot of the progress in NLA can go a lot quicker. We could do this a lot better if we just have really a dozen or even two dozen more people. That was a week.
You cut out there.
Really,
what did you say, Carl? You really cut out.
I'm sorry. I was saying that I think things in the NLA would go a lot better, a lot smoother, if we had maybe even just 12 people work 4 to 6 hours a week just on NLA stuff. You know, I think we would be three times faster in doing what we needed to do with this stuff in particular, and we could really make some great progress. So I just ask people who can, you don't necessarily need to commit now, but think about it over the next few days or the next week or two, and just I just want to put that out there that I personally am going to go out and try to get more people to do some of these things, because I, after listening to this call, I hear a lot of great ideas and a lot of things we could do that just requires some people to be there for a few hours a week. So, you know, I just want to put that out there so that people think about it. And I think we can do a lot based on what I'm hearing tonight.
Well, I'm always online trying to drive traffic, and I think that there's always two sides to that. There's getting people to get interest and then getting them to join in and then getting them to stay, you know.
Yes.
And so we've had a hard time with retention, not that we have a market share, so to speak, that we're working at, but, you know, people wander off into the kind of woo-woo stuff, and I won't mention any names, but we all know what's out there.
Yep.
And then some people actually mature and start to do some things on their own that are very powerful that would be awesome if they were still in our group, because they'd be bringing that brain trust back.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that goes to mending fences and harmonizing, where we could be less rigid, and you know what I mean, it becomes a little political, whatever. But, you know, yeah. I just think that we've got a good, solid, principled foundation here. We're very careful, methodic as we move, is the feeling I get. There is, you know, sort of risk out there, you know, worth taking. And the only part that I think that also has chafed some people is, yeah, Oregon. Yeah, Oregon's awesome. It's incredible, the starkness of that case. But if you're trying to beat on one part of the Jericho wall, so to speak, and you refuse to circle the whole city and look for weak spots and keep beating on all of those weak spots, are you really doing the best job you can?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and I just think that to stop the train and to not get anything else done and then disaffect a whole bunch of people, you really start to mess with retention. And you can, you know, raise awareness, beat the drums, go social media, talk to people, all this stuff. But if they get there and there's no mud sticking to the wall or there's nothing tangible they can do, they're going to kind of waddle off.
Right. Absolutely. You bring up a lot of great points, and you bring up a lot of great points tonight that we have the issue of we do have the issue of retention, and we do need to come up with some sort of system that can teach people to do this stuff. And I don't think it needs to be too difficult, but you know, you're right. A lot of people come in and they just do their own thing. But there are a lot of people who do mature. So over the next, I think, couple days, that's something that maybe I'll need to think about. And you do bring up a great point, too, I didn't quite think about with the Jericho walls. You know, I'm so sometimes focused that, you know, we have to do two, three things. But you're right, we have to kind of chip away at all the parts of the wall to see what falls. And we might be absolutely shocked to see what actually falls first. It could be the strongest point we think is actually the weakest. So it's... Yeah, that's something to think about. And yeah, I think we are trying to diversify, and I think that's why we're trying to do the committee of safety stuff. And I'm also trying to work and respond to something that John had sent in a very positive way with the committees of safety that I think can kind of tend the wounds with that, because we have had a lot of issues with not just other groups or dissenters, but a lot of, I guess, key people as well, and really principal people who want us to be more neutral when it comes to the committees of safety. And I do understand that, and I think it's great that we are actually producing some content. But at the same time, we have to be more neutral when it comes to that and kind of work together more with people on that, in my opinion. So that's something I think we need to work on mending and getting people together with committees of safety and all that.
The only other thing I'll add to the chipping away thing, I'm really excited about your ideas on making habeas corpus an extensible kind of a thing. And I think that getting people on board while they have energy, while they have an issue, and giving them some early successes,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if it's to generate some paperwork that ends up part of their record and they feel like they got some traction, and I think that makes a believer, and that gets them to be somebody who recruits other people, gives whatever energy they've got. You know, and it's a little different than saying, we have this tome of knowledge, you need to come educate yourself, you are dumb, you need to be educated, you need to come take our courses, and then you won't be dumb. I think mm-hmm. it kind of talks down to people a little bit.
Yes.
And people find that as a hard nut to crack. There's so many things to do online, you know. It's like they need a coloring book.
Right. Right. Yeah, you brought up, that's the thing, too, and I think that's one of the things that we do need to work on as an organization. We sort of say we have this tome of knowledge, come here and educate your dumb selves. And we don't say that directly, and we don't actually believe that, but that's sort of how we're perceived in a lot of ways. And what I hear from other people saying about some of the NLA stuff. So that's one thing we do need to try to fix. We need to fix how people perceive us, and instead of saying come here to our knowledge base and stop being stupid by getting knowledge from us, we have to come with a little bit more humility and say in some better way that we have knowledge and we appreciate the experience that you also have and the information you have, and we want to share our information with you as much as we want to gain information and knowledge from you. So we have to figure out some way to kind of do that so that it's more mutual between people who are coming in terms of us getting knowledge from them and their experience and us giving them experience as a group.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of activity on those on our boards. I try to post, you know, certain things that I find, you know, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's another thing, is you raise a little bit of traffic and interest when you know, have a vibrant place. But if you go to news on the NLA site, it's the same news. It's Oregon. Well, that's not news. That's a project. It's a good project. It's a long-term project, and I really feel for those guys, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's about relevance. It's about today, you know. Like, what are we doing about the voter fraud, the fact that, you know, they call these elections before anybody gets there? You know, they've
right.
got a plan to with the AP News for months ahead of time, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's like all of a sudden... you have enough delegates to win, you know, 50 delegates overnight, you know. So, yeah, no, I totally understand. I totally agree with you that we need to make it more active. We need to make it more relevant to people and their different communities, too. And I guess what I'll try to do is, you know, I may actually call you to work on ideas with you about maybe how we could do this best and get more people involved. So that's really great what you mentioned, and you're right, we do kind of need to have people on the East maybe chip away at something other than the Bundy stuff. And I think that's sort of what we were trying to do with the Committee of Safety stuff, try to get people to go out there and do something that's relevant to their particular community. So we might want to kind of focus different areas or have people kind of focus on their own different projects and maybe find some way where we can effectively say that these people are working on this and they need help with doing, et cetera. So
I have a couple of ideas that you guys might want to. Last week after we got off the phone, I thought of a couple things. Basically what it is was I was thinking maybe since the NLA is growing, that we could have different levels of membership for people who are, you know, at different levels of understanding. Say, for instance, you could have, I'm going to stutter around because I haven't really spoken this out yet. It's still a thought, but you could have like three or four levels of membership, and the first level of membership would be an I Love Liberty membership, where all people do is they just go online and they're just saying, yeah, I love liberty too, and they could take the Constitution course for free and the Civics course for free. And then the next level of membership would be Liberty Partner, say, for instance, and that would be the $5 a month or, say, $50 a year, where they could do a one-time payment of $50 a year and be a member for a year, or they could send in their $5 a month, and that would then open up to them more interactive learning and different things like that. And then you could have a third level of membership, say a Liberty Supporter membership, where a person would make one-time donations of $250 or whatever. I mean, it wouldn't have to be any amount up there, but just where people then get involved as district administrators. And that, I mean, kind of because what y'all have said before, and I'm new, what y'all have said before is that and God bless the NLA, but the website is huge, and it would kind of help a person that's new and maybe not so committed at first, you know, to break out where they want to go and what they want to do. And on you guys' end, the administrative end, it would break out for you who are your workers at this point, who have a dog in the fight at this point, and who is just looking around, you know, who's just become aware that they need to start seeing what's going on, more or less. So that was what I thought of after the call last week.
No, that's all great. I think what we want to try to do, though, I like the whole level idea, but we want to try to avoid having people pay for more information. Other than that, I think that's great what you said about how we can separate different people. Like, if you want to write papers, you just put down that I'm interested in writing papers, and so you may be put into a different group so we know that when the time comes that you're the type of person who wants to write a paper, or if you just want to blog about us and kind of support us morally, you'd be put in another kind of group to say, I just want to be your moral support, and I really don't want to do any phone calls, or maybe you do or not. So I think that's really good to think
about. However they do it, but just to have it where people, I mean, like being new, for instance, for me, being new, I want to try to find out where I fit, you know, and if it was divided up in levels, maybe not by the money thing, but by somehow how you guys want to organize it internally so that people can jump in on the level that they're in. For instance, I know more about the very beginning of it because I've had a problem myself. But for somebody that I tell about it, my friends who don't understand what I'm talking about, but they are interested and they know I'm saying something they need to know, they would go in on a level that was first level, say, for instance, where they hadn't done their own research. I don't know. Now I'm just repeating myself, but just the level thing, yeah, however y'all would want to do it. But it would help people coming in to know where they fit in the organization.
Right. No, absolutely. I think that's a great to consider. And
Carl?
Yeah?
This is Laura. Listen, I have to get on another call.
Okay.
So it's I have it on recording. If I get off, is it you have it on recording too or what?
I do, yes. So it will be recorded. I just need to turn it off.
Okay, so I'm just going to leave the page then. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you later then.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
And so your contact information is what? Carl at NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Correct. Yes, and it's Carl with a K.
Yes. Okay. Have you? This is LaRonda Fox. Have you heard about my booklet? What the lady is just talking about, I think it would be ideal to be posted, and I've been making requests in regards to, have you heard of my booklet, sir?
I have not heard of it, no.
The one when I say, do you know your rights and privileges? Learn about the laws and what controls our court.
I've been asking
repeatedly, trying to get authorization for my booklet to be posted because I think it would be ideal for those who, like this lady was just describing, who doesn't know much about the law or wants to know more, and like she was saying, I even have on one website I'm introducing the people to where you would take a quiz to determine, you know, how legal savvy you are. You see what I'm saying? But I'm going to email you the information about the booklet, and I'd like for you to get in touch with John and Linda and Gary and give your opinion about it. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand that.
Okay. I'll definitely take a look and get together with some of the leadership if I can on it. I'll have to take a look. I really don't know how much we could do with it, but I'd love to publish it if we get approval too. So, just send it to me.
That's what I'm seeking approval.
Yeah, what's that?
That's what I am seeking is approval.
Okay. Yeah, so send it to me, and I'll do what I can with it.
Well, thank you.
Yep, no problem. Yeah, so I really haven't actually heard of your booklet before, so I do apologize if you did send it to me.
And what it is basically is, I'm directing you to, well, I have a short introduction of myself that tells what prompted me to get to wanting to learn or know more about my legal rights. And then what it basically is I'm directing the people to the other various websites for information and what have you. And it's like about 13 pages. And I am doing it for free. I'm not charging anybody anything, and this is my way to give back to the community.
Yeah, and I do really appreciate that, too. I mean, it's people like you and people like Bill Thornton and people like John and people like all of us here, a lot of us here, that we just share information, we post what we can, and, you know, together eventually we'll...
Can I share some information?
Sure, go ahead.
Recently I learned that if I, you know, there's my all capital name, and I know that's a no-no. We're not supposed to talk about the fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my proper case name, and so I have two of those names. And in order to declare my political status with the state so that they know that I know who I am, I made a declaration, an affidavit. What was that?
Oh, it was an echo, but it's muted.
Okay, an affidavit of declaration of my political status, and that I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen. I am a United States national, and my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my parents, we all lived in the same neighborhood at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am not someone that just got here or anything. I am a national of the United States of America. And when I declared that, then that name, that all capital name, the Treasury Department will remove the bond that they have on that, and I will not be a slave. That name has me as a slave.
Well,
and indentured.
I'll finish up.
And indentured through the Social Security and DMV and all of them. And so when I claim the only my declaration of political status as me, the real person, and I have the affidavit that I used from someone else that states all the laws that coincide with the 14th Amendment is not the citizen I am, but
right.
The nationality is the United States of America. That's my nationality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that way I can be released from the offices of all the departments, including the state.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And get the constitutional protection.
Well, I do understand what you're talking about, but I guess the best way to answer that is that all that being the 14th citizen person and not being the corporation, it's all fiction, in the sense that
no, these are
all fraud,
these are law,
all fraud.
Laws.
Well, they're statutes. They're not laws.
No, I'm talking about... Let me send it to you.
Okay.
I have it recorded in the land records. It's got a page and a volume.
Yeah. Well, doing all those things, you could do them. I don't know what they will do to help you, but they're still going to continue doing their fraud, doing their thing that they've been doing.
But
and
not to
so,
me.
And so did you have success about them releasing your bond or whatever it was when you did this?
Yeah. Well,
they,
I actually just recorded it in March. And so it's new to me. And But I should be able to see her soon. I don't know. I'm waiting to see. You know, I don't know how I can prove it to myself even, but the more I learn, the more I'm going to put out there. And because what you're doing, those two people, there is the real one is me, and the all capital name is the DNA of that's in Washington D.C. So
yeah.
From well, birth.
Yeah, well, I understand what they do. They play these games with making you the
No, it's not the game. It's real. Really,
well,
it is.
Well, it is real in the
they
sense.
They have your DNA.
Yeah, they do have your DNA. But
everybody,
you know, what we try to do is we try to focus on, we don't try to focus on the fiction and trying to get into that because then you're playing their game, and I'm going to call it a game because...
I've heard this before.
You're playing with them, and we are trying to do common law. We're not gonna, you know, because you're not gonna win doing it that way in their sandbox.
Well,
so that's why
I can't wait to see if you win too, because I'm with the National Liberty Alliance, and I am a member.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
yeah. And also, slavery is a mindset as well, in many cases. So, you know, if you think you're free, and I truly mean this, if you think you're free and you can live your life free on your own land, it doesn't really matter if someone somewhere else thinks you're a slave. If you're free, if you have the ability to do so, and your mindset is that, then you are free in that sense. It doesn't, you know, all the paperwork in the world doesn't matter.
Isn't that a fiction you're talking about?
No, I guess I'm just trying to, I'm personally just speaking my own personal view, I guess, of that, you know, slavery in
so
some
that's
sense
your fiction.
Is a
your
bond.
Reality or.
Yeah, so.
Ma'am? I had a good conversation. This is Harley from Vermont. I had a good conversation with Rob Overhuel, and he was talking about patenting his property federally. Is that something close to what you're talking about? I missed a little bit of the conversation.
No. That land patent or lodeal title, I don't know. Land patent is different, though, than a lodeal title, but I was not talking about that, but I recorded my political status down at the town clerk, and I got a page and a volume. Those are my rights, and I got them back.
Well,
that
I just
claimed.
Think that you guys might even learn from each other on that, because he's going pretty deep on that stuff. He's got a couple of researches into that. He's the head of the sheriff's committee. I'm on the sheriff's committee. That's why I was talking to him. But, you know, whatever NLA is doing doesn't stop any one of us from going deep in a subject. And it sounds like, you know, you're doing some respectful work. And we're all in the business of trying to prove these things out. And, you know, we can label them as fictions or games or whatever. Isn't it all a game? You know, it's really between you and your creator what you are, and other people mm-hmm. are just making up things.
Yeah.
Statism, you know, I mean, at the bottom level. So we don't have a philosophical disagreement even. We just have a technical thing to try to get done and see if we can get it reproducible.
Right.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I don't really have much knowledge about that, so it might be a good idea to talk with Robert on that.
Okay. I'd like to, because the more people that send these affidavits to the Department of State, I think there's been like a couple thousand this last year that's done this, and I'm sure that before that it was null. But people are learning that this is what it takes to get out of being identified with that all capital name.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I do want to start to wrap this up now, though.
Okay.
Because it is getting late.
Carl?
Yeah?
Before you go, I was wondering if we could swap Skype.
Oh, sure, sure. I'll give
I'm Earth Geek One.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Earth Geek One. I'm Sharon in Connecticut, and I think I was talking to you before.
Oh, maybe.
From.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I have your name down by my computer as one of the people that gave me their email.
Yeah, we were on that call the other night. Yep.
Oh, about a week ago. Yeah.
So, Earthgeek One. So, it's all one word.
Yeah. If you send me a thing on Skype, I can return one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting someone with Blake Lake.
Yep.
That's you. Okay.
Should have been William Blake. That's what I am on Facebook. But.
Okay. So I just sent you the request, so you can just accept me.
All right, super. And I'd be willing to work on any of those things with you, especially, you know, website stuff, social media stuff, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like to hear other people's opinions as well. And if, you know, people want to comment on anything that I say, everybody's welcome to do so.
Could the lady that wrote the book, the 13-page booklet, could she, before we hang up, if she's still on, give us the website or whatever where we could read that?
Yeah, I'd be interested too.
Yeah, Laverne, I was going to ask her for, she had sent me one through my email, but if she has a website, that would be good. Laverne still on there?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Sharon?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Watchdog. Could you send me an affidavit for your declaration?
I sure will.
Please? Yeah, because I'd like to have one.
And send me a Skype. Go ahead.
Okay.
I was trying to write one up, but if you have it already, it would be better.
Yeah, well, I got it from the guy that you know, I learned from, Roger Sales.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, I'll send it to you. And
thank you.
I can send you the long version or the short version, but, you know, I like the long version myself because it stated all the laws. And
definitely. Yeah, I'll take the long one.
It was good. I think it cost me about $80 to record it at the town clerk, but it's worth it, you know. And then I went ahead and I got a passport, which you don't have to do. You just have to send. What I did was after I recorded, I got a couple certified copies, and I put one in the courthouse and one I sent to the Department of State, so that, you know, this is what you have to do to get, so that they know your political status. And
right.
They sent it back. I sent it through the postal, you know, with my passport, but you do not have to apply for a passport. You can just get it. Wow, what was that?
I don't know.
Pretty badly.
Did you put that on with your passport application, though? Because I would like to get one.
I did. I sent it with my passport, and that way they have it. They sent my passport back. My nationality is USA.
I see.
I'm not a U.S. citizen. I'm a U.S. I'm a national. A USA nationality.
Nice.
So if you look at a passport when you go home or when you get on your computer, look at the DOS, Department of State, and get a DS-11 form and read it, and it will ask you if you're a U.S. citizen. You can put yes, but you send in that affidavit, and that makes it, that is goes before the U.S. citizen. And
right.
So you have to be, you know, you're a state citizen, your nationality, you're a non-resident, non-citizen alien, in their words. But that's okay because you're not in a corporation.
Right. Good.
When you work for someone, they get to tell you what to do, remember?
Yep, absolutely.
And so you don't want to be in the federal corporation for nothing.
No.
Because they get to shoot you, too, if you don't listen.
I hear that.
They shoot
Thank you
in
very
the back.
Much.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Harley
Thank
has something to say.
And have a good night.
Hello, Carl.
Yeah.
Carl.
Oh, do you have one last thing? Yeah.
Hello, yes. This is Jefferson in Missouri. I'm a federal district leader, and I was wanting to try to plug our chat room on the site. Well, you know, it's another tool we have sitting there. It's a 24-hour chat room. Is anybody aware of the chat room? Because it's not been advertised or anything as a great way to communicate. We need to open up. Really open up our communications.
Yeah, absolutely. I really don't mention it because it was actually something that was put together by another member, and I guess you really didn't have a need when it was set up. But yeah, it's available for anybody to go to and chat and do
what you tell them how to get there.
Yep.
A National Liberty Alliance site.
Yep. So
yeah. Go to the members tab. Members tab, and then your menu will come up, and you'll see chat room. But it's open, it's there, and nobody's using it. I mean, I've been watching it for a month, and there's nobody taking advantage of this. It's a tool we need to. Our communication is very limited as it is, so we need to really open up. We're the people. Remember.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's about the people, so we need to get in there and get to talking with each other, interstate and out of state and everywhere else.
I agree.
Right, absolutely.
I'll yield.
Excellent.
Yep, and that's one thing. That's one thing I might also try to take a look at, how we can get more people talking to each other, connected with each other. And one thing I haven't quite advertised is that there is actually an option for you to email your district and state leaders. And you can actually do so being a member on the site by going to the directory tab, and then there is actually something, a tab 6 down that says email local leaders. And that will actually allow you to email your state and federal district leaders. So that's also something else I really haven't mentioned that I want to put in, because it is important if you want to get in touch with your leaders, that's one way to do so. And what that does is that you can it's a reach out for you as a member saying, hey, active, I want something to do, and you know, your local leaders will get it.
Yeah, and I love people. I want to help people, and if I find a way that I think might work,
mm-hmm.
I would like to communicate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's one way of doing it. One thing we're kind of hesitant about, and I think it's for a good reason, is giving out mass emails to
oh,
people.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, because what happens is they steal your email.
Yeah, I had that happen with that one guy. That
yeah.
was terrible. That guy was weird.
Yeah, I had...
But I wouldn't do that. No, I'm not one for emailing all that much. But I do check my emails, though.
So. Yep. So yeah, I just want to kind of say that's kind of why we don't do that.
I hear you.
Yeah. So you know, with all that, I'm going to close it out.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Yep. No
Thank
problem.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm open to emails at my email address. Anything else that people need.
Okay, and I'm willing to help out as much as I can, too, because I'm on the computer all day, usually just studying and trying to look for other avenues. But working or helping you, I wouldn't mind doing it all.
Great.
And Sharon, did you send me a Skype request?
I don't think I did. Is this Watchdog?
No, this is Harley. This is
Harley.
Earth Geek.
Yeah. I don't think I did, but I can do that in the morning. I get up early and I'll go on my Skype and Earth Geek.
Number one.
The number one. Okay.
Yep.
I will, yes.
I'd love to hear from you and look at your pamphlet and stuff like that. And I think you know, any easy entry to people, different things.
You bet. Okay, will do.
All right. Well, good night, everybody.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Carl.
No problem.
Good night, Carl.
Night.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Good night.